Good morning, everyone. Before we begin, let us just pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning to come into your presence, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that we can come here, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, Lord, we can come boldly towards your throne of grace. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for today's, Lord, the message, God. I just pray, Lord, that your words will be spoken, Lord God. I just pray that you anoint my lips, Lord. I humble myself, Lord. May you increase, Lord. May I decrease, God, so that you be glorified, Lord, in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, good morning, everyone. The topic that I'd like to speak about this morning is on Thanksgiving. And I'd like to read, actually, two verses from the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 50. Verse 14, and then after that we'll be reading Psalms 116, verse 17. So first, let us turn to Psalms chapter 50, verse 14. Just the first part, it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then if we can turn down to Psalms 116, verse 17. And there it says, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. So the message that I'd like to speak this morning is simply titled Thanksgiving. And I actually like this time of the year where we enter into this season of Thanksgiving and into Christmas. As we wind down into the year, there's a lot of festivities. But, you know, I really like this season of Thanksgiving. I'm a Singaporean Australian, so we actually did not really celebrate Thanksgiving back in my home countries. But ever since moving to Hong Kong and joining SP, I really do appreciate this tradition that the church has set of celebrating Thanksgiving and giving thanks for what God has done throughout the whole year. So this morning, I'd like to briefly speak on this subject of Thanksgiving. If you grew up in the 1990s, you probably may have watched this movie called A Few Good Men, starring Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. Now, this show is about a Marine colonel, Colonel Jessup, who was being put on trial for employing questionable methods of disciplining his men at his base in Guantanamo Bay. Now, there is a famous line there, though, between Tom Cruise, who was the prosecuting lawyer, and Jack Nicholson. So they have this heated exchange, and Tom Cruise says, you want the truth? And then Jack Nicholson responds, you can't handle the truth. Then Jack Nicholson, the colonel, goes on a long monologue, which culminates in him saying, I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of very freedom that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Now, for all that drama in that show, I think the last line is actually quite poignant. It says, I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is like Colonel Jessup in the show. But perhaps that is something that we actually should do with God. Instead of complaining and asking so many questions, we who live under God's care and protection, we should just say a thank you to God and be on our way. So this morning, as I speak about this topic of Thanksgiving, I'm actually also preaching to myself. Hope we can encourage us to make this a lifestyle and a permanent practice throughout our Christian lives. That is to continue offering God these offerings and sacrifices of thanksgiving. So this morning, I have just three simple points which I'd like to speak about. Point number one, thanksgiving is part of God's protocol. Number two, thanksgiving is the antidote to the sin of discontentment. And point number three, thanksgiving is the will of God. So let's just talk on the first point. Thanksgiving is part of God's protocol. So let's just turn to another passage in the book of Psalms. Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms, the 100th chapter, verse 4. And there it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. So I said, thanksgiving is part of God's protocol. So what is protocol? I think simply put, I think it's the correct way of doing things in the presence of an esteemed person. So, for example, if you get an audience with the Queen, There are certain rules that you need to follow, like men need to bow their head, women need to curtsy, and you're not supposed to actually touch or have physical contact with the queen, even if you were a world leader. And as just a normal subject or a plain commoner, you can't just barge into the presence of the queen and say, "Hey, queen, I'm here, hello." You can't do these sort of things. And even if you're waiting for a dignitary, right, if you go to a function where there's a very important person that's coming, it is expected that all the guests will be seated first before the dignitary arrives, and not the other way around. The dignitary never waits for the guests to come. So here, I think as we read in the Psalms, it gives us a little glimpse of what God's protocol is and how to enter His presence. And it's actually quite simple. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So with God, I think we just don't budge our way into His presence, but we give Him the glory and the honor and the reverence that He deserves. Now it is true that God is with us all the time. God is also a friend. He's also a brother. And that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what He says. And God also delights to have fellowship with us and even to walk with us, like how He walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall. But one of the tragedies of the modern church is that we sometimes forget who God is and how awesome He is and that He is God. And He was a God, you know, when John the Beloved, the disciple of Jesus, he was the closest disciple and he arguably knew the love of God the most. He was the biggest recipient of God's love because he called himself the one that Jesus loved. But when John the Beloved, the apostle, saw Jesus in the book of Revelation, he fell at His feet as if dead. He could not move. And this was the person who knew the love of God so intimately. And our God is also the God with whom all the angels constantly cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," before His throne. And He is also the all-consuming fire. He killed Uzzah for touching the Ark of the Covenant. And He also struck down Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts just for lying to the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we forget to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. We forget to ascribe greatness to the Lord our God. We forgot to magnify His name, exalt His name, and give Him the glory and the honor that He deserves. And so do you ever wonder why we normally start with praise and worship first on the Sunday service? It's because we enter His presence by singing praises. And hopefully also during the praise, we give thanks to Him and we exalt His name. Now, my wife and I just had a baby, and so we get to sit at the back now because we can't sit in the front. And to be honest, we don't really like sitting there because it's a little bit distracting with all the latecomers coming in during the service. And frankly, it's a little bit irritating as well because, as I said, it's quite distracting. Now, if there was a family emergency or some unforeseen event that happened along the way and you happen to be late, now, God bless you, I am not really speaking about you. And I understand that life happens from time to time. But who I'm addressing is, which I find highly annoying, is people who are habitually late, or even worse, just rock up in the middle of the sermon. I really don't understand why they do that, and I'm unsure what the excuse is. But the thing is, they think they can just, you know, stroll into the presence of God, just budge in like it's not a problem at all, and they don't really care about it. So if you're one of those who are habitually late, you know, I would tell you, you are in sin, and you need to repent, because you are not honoring God and not giving Him the respect that He deserves. And by actually missing part of the praise and worship session, you are saying, "I do not need to come into His presence with the right protocol." You forget to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now, let us be clear. I'm not trying to take a legalistic approach here. There are many people in churches who adopt the right protocol. They are always on time, on the surface. They do the right things. But they do not have the right heart with God. So I'm not talking. So having the right protocol does not mean that your heart is right with God. But yet on the flip side, I believe that if you do not have the right protocol, if you're always coming late into His presence, that is an area of your life where your heart is not right and you need to repent of that area. So yes, point number one, thanksgiving is the protocol in which we enter God's presence. Now point number two, thanksgiving is the antidote to the sin of discontentment. Most people in their life are guilty of this sin. Certainly for me, I can tell you that it's one of the major sins and the area I struggle with a lot in my life. And God is slowly dealing with this area of my life. It's not an easy process, and it has actually been quite a painful process, especially I guess this year and the last couple of years or so. But I'm thinking that the key to overcoming discontentment is to have a heart of thanksgiving. Now let's think about the story of the children of Israel who perished in the wilderness after being delivered by God from Egypt. A whole generation perished except for Caleb and Joshua because they were a bunch of complainers and never had faith in God to deliver them in their trying circumstances. And they were grumbling and murmuring so much that God basically was fed up. As you can read it in Numbers chapter 14. We don't have to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 14. See, God told Moses that he would just kill them all and raise up a nation greater and mightier than from the line of Moses. So God said, yeah, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? Now there is a line between complaining and murmuring and bringing your request to God. I don't know, but the template here is in the famous passage from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Very, very famous passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I think here what God is saying is, yes, I know you have your needs. I know you have your many prayer requests and wants, but please also remember what I have done for you and give thanks for that as well. Now I know that it is hard. When life is not going so well, it's easy to fall into the trap of complaining. I have done that many times, actually, constantly. But we need to remind ourselves, whatever it is, you can give thanks in that circumstance and for other things in your life where God has blessed you abundantly. And why can we do that? Because we know that the promises of God are true and God's word is true. His word is true that he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows what is going on in your life. He is a giver of good gifts. He is a good father. He is a good shepherd. And nothing that's ever happened to you has happened without the Father knowing and allowing it to happen. Recently, some of you know, I've been facing some troubles in my life. And there came a point where I was actually quite discouraged. And it came to a place where I was also questioning the Bible and saying, God, are you really good? I cannot imagine that you are actually a good father. You said you are good, but why is this happening to me? It's tough, but I don't know. In his grace, God made me meditate on the fact that he knows the number of hairs on my head. And that's how intimately that he knows me. And I want to say that's actually impossible for someone to find out the number of hairs on someone's head. I think you can make an estimate, but is it actually truly possible to count them? Unless maybe, of course, you are bald. But that is the extent to God, that's the extent to which how God intimately knows us. Now the prayer that I have these days is, God, help me to know that you are the God of the Bible and believe that your word is true and to proclaim that you are a good father and that every perfect gift comes from you. And as I paraphrase Romans chapter 8, verse 32, if God did not spare his only son but deliver him over for us all, how much more will he not freely give us all things? That's Romans chapter 8, verse 32. So instead of grumbling and complaining and saying, God, I need this, God, I need that, God, I want a spouse, God, I need a new job, but rather maybe we can pray, God, I need a new job, but thank you for providing for me in this season and that you are my provider. And hopefully more words of thanks come out of mouth instead of grumbling. And so if you have the heart of thanksgiving, I think that that is actually the secret to contentment. As you know, in Paul, where he says just earlier in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he says, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Number three. Thanksgiving is the will of God. Have you ever prayed to God asking, God, what is your will? Well, I'm actually here to give you the answer right now. If we can turn a turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So there you go. This point is actually quite straightforward. God's will for our lives is to give thanks. Ah, mic test. Coming back. Hello? Ah, mic test. There you go. Okay. Mic test. Ah, sorry. Some technical issues there. So yeah, point number three. Thanksgiving is the will of God. So this point was quite straightforward. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 just now, God's will for our lives is to give thanks in everything. So if you're praying for God's will, you've just got an answer. And so if thanksgiving is the will of God, I suppose we need to do it more frequently and consistently. And I guess tying into the second point, it actually also helps overcome the sin of discontentment. I've also just talked about the fact before in Revelation, before God's throne, there are these angels which cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." So interestingly, I was just reading Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9, which is where the scene comes about. Just the other day, I'll just read it out here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come.' And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks," "to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne." So notice here that this is the important part. Some part of worship consists of giving glory and honor and thanks to God. And also, I was just doing some research on Thanksgiving through the online Bible, and another interesting verse popped up. P. Nate actually talked about it a few weeks ago on the subject of gossip. But here, remember, as he read in Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents." But here it also says ungrateful, unloving, unholy. But notice, one of the sins is also ungrateful. So it's actually quite a... In God's kingdom, being ungrateful is a big sin, and he wants us to actually give him thanks and to have a heart of thanksgiving, because that is his will. So you may then ask me, so yes, okay, I understand that thanksgiving is the will of God, but then what can I give thanks for? So what can we actually give God thanks for? Well, we can thank God for SP, that we have a good church to come to and a nice sanctuary where we can worship. We can thank God that there is shelter all the way from IFC to church, that we do not actually have to brave the elements on a rainy day. And thank God that our church is able to host so many international speakers who have blessed us greatly over the years. Thank God that we are living in a country which is peaceful. We can worship Him in peace without being persecuted. We thank God for food that we eat, and we also don't have trouble providing food for our families. Thank God that we have shelter over our heads, we have a very nice bed to sleep in at night. Thank God that we have hot running water in our house in winter. Just the other day, my hot water heater broke down for like 2 days, and basically I had to go back old school, like my grandmother's home when I was young, and actually boil the hot water myself. And I was not really happy at the inconvenience, because it's a bit inconvenient. But then I felt God was asking me to say, thank Him for having just running water that is piped to my bathroom or my apartment directly. So there we can also thank God for family, thank God for health, thank God for the ability to even do our career, to do our jobs. And if you're really at your wit's end, here are the foolproof ones that you can't refute. Give thanks to the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to God for His glory is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank God for salvation, for sending Jesus. Thank God that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God that He has gone before us to prepare a place in heaven for us. Thank God that He has promised to provide us all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Thank God that He is a good Father that is watching over us. Thank God that Jesus is our advocate who is defending us while the enemy accuses us. Thank God for Holy Spirit who is our comforter and our guide when something is not right. I'm sure that we can have a thank God session, and it can actually go on for some time. We can thank God for who He is. You know, thank God that He's the God, our banner. Thank God that He's our righteousness. Thank God that He's our shepherd. So many things to thank God for. But in conclusion, I would just like to read a somewhat sad story from Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Again, you don't have to turn there, but as Sandeep plays the music and as we close... So Luke chapter 17, verse 12. So this is Jesus. As Jesus entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. And now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were they not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So in this story, we can see that 10 lepers are cleansed, but only one came back to give thanks to God. And Jesus asked where the rest were. But they were not there. And perhaps what Jesus wanted was just a thank you very much from the other 9 lepers and for them to be on their way. See, in our thanks, we also give glory to God and we acknowledge that it is actually He who has given us all that we have. So as we close, let us just do a few things. Let us enter into His presence with thanksgiving and praise, and let us thank God for what He has done. And also allow Holy Spirit to speak to us and teach us to have a heart of thanksgiving for the rest of our lives. And as R.T. Kendall has said at the conference, make it a daily habit to give thanks to God for a few things. It takes a few seconds. Let us just say a thank you very much, and we can be on our way. Thank you.
Let's just turn to our Saturday focus, prayer focus. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from cancer or cancer-related treatments. Just pray first. Thank God that, you know, by His stripes that we are healed, and that He's our healer. And just pray for them, man. Just cover them in prayer. Let's pray. Pray for members of our community who are suffering various non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for members of community who are suffering illnesses but who don't know the Lord, who need salvation. Let's just pray that God will have mercy upon them and show Him who He is, that He is their Savior. Pray for members of our community who are suffering various infirmities. pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs. Just pray for God's grace and favor to be upon their lives. Pray for the missions focus for Saturday and North Korea. Just pray for open doors for ministry there. And also pray and generally for the mission opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And also just pray for one more thing. Last Sunday we heard about the whole ISIS and persecuted church situation in Syria and Iraq. So just lift up our brothers and sisters there as well. Let us pray. For the various weekend activities, just pray that Holy Spirit will be there, be led by Holy Spirit, and that ultimately that Jesus be glorified in those meetings and those activities. Pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Pray for Marwan, McDaddy, Robinson Road, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, and Westside. Again, just pray for God's presence to be there so strongly that they'll have a good time of fellowship, and ultimately though that they can come and glorify Jesus together. Father God, we are just so grateful, Lord, that we can just come into your presence, God, because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for what Jesus has done on the cross. And because of what he has done on the cross, we can bring these petitions and prayers up, Lord God. So, Lord God, with all these prayers, Lord, that we've just prayed, Lord God, I just pray that we learn to also give thanks, Lord, in the various trials that we and our brothers and sisters are going through, Lord. That, Lord, we always have a heart of thanksgiving. So, Lord, teach us, Lord God, I pray, to adopt this attitude and this posture, Lord, before you all the days of our life. Lord, we love you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for being in our presence. In Jesus' name we pray.